The 23rd Psalm has been a psalm of comfort for us for generations. Please join me as we read this beloved psalm together. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life long. Word of God, word of life, thanks be to God. The second reading is from 1 John, the third chapter. We know love by this, that Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for one another. How does God's love abide in anyone who has the world's goods and sees a brother or sister in need and yet refuses help? Little children, let us love, not in word or speech, but in truth and action. And by this we will know that we are from the truth and will reassure our hearts before him whenever our hearts condemn us. For God is greater than our hearts, and he knows everything. Beloved, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have boldness before God, and we receive from him whatever we ask, because we obey his commandments and do what pleases him. And this is his commandment, that we should believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another just as he has commanded us. All who obey his commandments abide in him, and he abides in them. And by thus we know that he abides in us, by the Spirit that he has given us. Word of God, word of life, thanks be to God. Please rise for the reading of the gospel.
We are in the Gospel of John now for a while before we get back to Mark. So the Gospel according to John, the 10th chapter. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand, who is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. The hired hand runs away because a hired hand does not care for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. I have received this command from my Father. The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. My preaching professor in seminary always said that children's sermons were the hardest to write because you had to find new ways each week to say Jesus loves you. Thank goodness for Kelsey because she does an amazing job of that. But it's not easy. It is challenging to come up with new and engaging ways to share this simple but foundational truth, that Jesus loves you. And honestly, I often feel the same way about regular sermons. I don't know how many times I've said to Brett, I feel like I just say the same thing week after week. I just say, God loves you. God loves you. God loves you. See, the problem is I have this nasty habit of preaching from the Bible. I study the scripture and the commentaries, and I look at the literary and historical context, and I listen for what God is saying through these writings. And what emerges again and again is this core message of God's love for us. Like I said, sometimes I feel like I'm repeating myself. Like all I do is stand up here and say, God loves you. Well, today's readings helped remind me of why that is. This week we have two readings that are probably written by the same author, from the Gospel of John and from the letter of 1 John. And John has some beautifully written passages that get at the big picture of who God is. One of my absolute favorite passages in Scripture comes from 1 John, just a little bit after what we heard read today. 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. And we'll get to hear those verses next week, and we'll get to hear them sung too, which I'm excited about. But they say, "Beloved, let us love one another, because love is from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, for God is love." God is love. We've all heard that before, right? But this is what John writes about throughout his gospel and his letters. This big idea that God is love. So it's God's very essence to love us. And because God is love, whenever we love, we are united with God. We are living within God. Whenever we love, we are dwelling in God, abiding in God. And because God is love, to know God, to be in relationship with God, is to love. And when we love others, we know and experience God. John can be a little heady. John can get a little philosophical in his writing, but this is not just fluffy feel-good stuff. This love is a call to action, like Kelsey was demonstrating with her charades. John writes, "Little children, let us love not in word or speech, but in truth and action." So this love that he writes about, this love is hard work. And it's demanding. We know what God love looks like from Jesus, who gave his entire life, who laid down his life for us out of love. And that's the love that we are called to, that same life-giving, self-giving love. We're called to love that leads to sacrifice, that leads us to lay down our lives for one another. But what does that mean for us? What does that look like? What does it look like today to live out that kind of love? Well, one thing that came to mind as I was thinking about this was the relationship between love and anti-racism work. In anti-racism work, it's not enough to say all people are created equal. If we continue to allow some people to be treated as less than because of the color of their skin, And the flip side of racism is white privilege. All the big and small ways that people with light-colored skin are given advantage within our society. So how do we lay down our lives? How do we sacrifice out of love for our neighbor? Well, to start, we stop accepting white privilege as our birthright and instead call it out, recognize it, name it, have conversations about it with family and friends. And that might be really uncomfortable. It might be difficult. It might make us face things in the world or even within ourselves that we don't want to see. But that is a sacrifice that love requires. John writes, if we see someone in need and we're able to help, how can the love of God be within us if we refuse to help? If we see the harm that racism causes, how can the love of God be within us if we refuse to help? The love that has been revealed to us in Jesus is a love that is self-giving for the sake of others. Self-giving for the sake of those who are downtrodden, oppressed, or suffering. Now, most of us will never be in a position that would require us to literally lay down our lives. But all of us have the opportunity to lay down our complacency, to lay down our comfort zones, to let go of our assumptions and stop clinging to our privilege, the privilege that we have been given. Of course, race and white privilege is only one example. The same could be applied to the harm we see in the world from sexism or gender discrimination or discrimination against people with neurodiversities or based on sexual orientation or gender identity or socioeconomic status. The list goes on and on. In whatever ways we see someone in need, the love of God calls us to help. However we can. And having the ability to help can apply to financial resources, physical abilities, or setting aside our privilege so that other voices can be heard. It can mean bringing awareness to disparities that others might be ignoring or unwilling to see. It means educating ourselves and speaking out. It can be big picture work to try and change systems, or it can be small changes in how we speak and how we treat one another. It's a willingness to be inconvenienced or to make changes out of respect and kindness for someone else. All of this is love. And when we love, we are abiding in God. We are living in God. We are in communion with God. When we love one another with our words and with our actions, we are living into the life that God desires for us. A life of community, a life of abundance, a life where all are cared for. So once again, the good news is that God loves us. God loves you and calls you into God's very self to live and to dwell and to abide in love. Thanks be to God. Amen.